We kick off hour number two of the program.
The offensive players were not set. 5 yards, started over.
Just run two people in motion and just snap it before they have that full second.
I think once they realize you're doing that at all, they can just
tell me. Hey, coach is like, hey guys, my players aren't good. We don't know how to line up.
They got a big head after that Mississippi State win. They're out here just lollygagging. Just keep punishing us and just waste that clock. Okay, to Matt's question, what are the numbers?
Oh yeah, so
turnovers.
In a game
+5.
Last week that had a situation like this, sort of.
I mean, I think that's a good parallel.
I mean, Georgia ran the ball for 173 yards.
Can't believe they didn't just run it more with Swift.
I mean, Swift was averaging 4.9 yards a carry. White was averaging 3.7. If you watch it though, you'd know why like running is like rushing yards aren't all the same.
I agree.
Because of the downs, you know, like it just
sure.
So there it was like an overtime.
If you run it 3 yards every time, it's a touchdown.
True.
Just saying. If you can actually average 3 yards a carry on the dot.
But yeah, you have to do it with a lag -3 or a lag 3, right? It has to be every time.
But if you get to 4.
Well, I mean, they did that like in overtime, though. First play, they run it, and Swift gets stuffed or like a half yard.
It seems like this year in college football, more and more teams are just willing to punt the run game on a series after one or two bad plays. Whereas back in the day,
And long used to be a rundown almost all the time.
Right. Well, I'm saying in the 90s, Tennessee, it was like a joke, right? 2 yards in a cloud of dust.
Run, pass,
but you do it, and you just beat people up. And then eventually, you pop Jay Graham to the right side for 77 yards. Well, then you start gashing people.
But I think all the analytics say that that's a fallacy we have in our heads, that teams do run the ball better in the fourth quarter. It's because everybody's tired. It has nothing to do with the fact that you stuck with it in the first and second quarter.
But
Dan Mullen even kind of...
Do we not think that teams... For example, when Derrick Henry was rolling last year for the Titans, do we not think in the fourth quarter, because you've had to tackle Derrick Henry for three quarters, you're like more tired, sore, unwilling to go in and make a hit?
At some level, yes. But there's... I think it's more of the fact that you've just been playing a football game for four.
But is it also not like war? Like you're kind of testing the front here? Like, oh, yeah, we ran to this. We tried this play. We did this. Now we know what they're kind of keying on. So now we can do this counter or this pitch out. You know, I think you learn more the more do it.
I agree that the defenses are tired. I do think with Derrick Henry, it's a little different just because he is so big and powerful.
No, 100%. 100%. But like, I get it. They don't have a Derrick Henry, but they've got five guys that are more than capable. South Carolina's run it well this year with Feaster, Dowdle, and the other kid, although I think he might be hurt now. I don't know. We seem to go away from Ty Chandler after one run that doesn't go for 5 yards.
I don't understand that. I mean, that just seems like you're not using one of your best weapons in
I wonder if
in
he's
his
like
ability.
There's, and there's been times. I don't think so. It's weird because we've talked about how, like, last year he had a lot of catches in a four-game span, and there's been some times where it looks as though they've tried to get him into the passing game, but we throw it behind him, and it's a fumble, or I don't know. Like, they just don't feel they can
– it's like he's cursed.
Yeah, they can't complete the screen game to an extent or just a little flare-out.
No, we haven't thrown screen passes at all. That's typically what you would do to teams where you have trouble blocking also. So here's the numbers for Matt. You got to hold Tagovailoa under 300 yards somehow.
More interceptions than touchdowns,
even
probably.
290. 290 would – it's possible. I mean, Georgia somehow scored 17 points, and their quarterback threw for 295, and they ran for another 173. South Carolina also blocked a field goal at the end of the half, which could have been points. I mean, so four turnovers and a blocked kick and a missed kick. That's how Georgia somehow rolled up all this yardage and only scored 17 points in a double overtime game. And we do need to keep that in mind because one of the turnovers was actually in the first overtime, too.
I thought
for Tennessee, you've just got to hit. You basically, I would think, you've got to have at least one drive where you actually drive the football down the field and score a touchdown, where you actually go from like your own 25, you go down the field and you score a touchdown. Is that very likely? Not that much, but like we said, this Alabama defense is not a juggernaut the way they used to be. So I think that's possible. So you have one long, sustained, just manage the clock. You got that one big drive that takes a while, and you cap it off with a touchdown. And then you need two more lightning strike touchdowns that come from either you turn them over at their own 15, or you block a kick and run it back, or a pick six, or strip sack fumble, or whatever, or a punt return for a touchdown. I don't know. You need two of those. One, like Brian Maurer against Georgia, first touchdown, that type of play. That's basically how South Carolina scored their first touchdown in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Big double move down the field, big receiver, touchdown. So I got Tennessee at 21 already, and now, you know.
Well, that's where the turnovers come in.
A couple field goals get you to 27. Alabama scores 24 and you win. There you go.
Actually, Matt
was just asking, how do you keep it, you know.
Alabama's given up more yards in the passing game this year than Tennessee has.
So maybe I'm giving too much credit. Maybe you could score, you know, two kind of regular touchdowns,
listen,
two more.
I get it. It's Alabama. I've tried to tell you guys, their defense this year is not what it has been.
So I got Tennessee at 34 now, and if you give up 45 and you lose 45-34, I think people would be like, pretty good.
Here are the numbers
they definitely would.
The defense, both defenses this year. Tennessee's allowed 358.7 yards a game. Alabama's allowed 336.0 yards a game.
Against a worse schedule.
Yeah, as far as it relates to pass yards allowed, Tennessee's given up 199. Alabama's given up 102.8.
And wait, what? Pass yards allowed?
Yep. Tennessee 199, Alabama 202.8.
You said 102. So I was like, what?
Oh.
202.
So it's really close, though. Okay.
Yeah.
My apologies.
No, it's fine.
And rush yards allowed a game, 159.7 for the Vols and 133.2 for Alabama.
Seems like their defense is a lot like our defense. I mean, we played a better schedule, and they're...
Well, people run the ball on us.
Well, it's also... Well,
they're like 60 yards difference right there.
No, he said 159 to 132.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say the thing that I think hurts Alabama is they usually score so quick that their defense is out on the field a lot more. They really don't own the time of possession in a lot of these games. But...
Yeah, my time of possession is... It's also in there with the other ones, right? Like, you have to hold them under 300 yards passing. You have to force all these turnovers. And then on top of that, you have to win time of possession, and I think in a big, big way.
Yeah.
Like, you probably need to win it, like, 40 minutes to 20 minutes.
Mm.
And just – you need Alabama to have a super slow start to where they just start getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And you start to develop a little bit of confidence. Because I think we all agree. I don't think Tennessee's offense is going to come out and just start marching the ball up and down the field, but – it's like anything. You kind of hang in there a little bit. You hang in there for a quarter and a half. Kind of like Georgia State, right? Georgia State against Tennessee. Tennessee has the lead at halftime. Kick the field goal and you think, okay, we might be all right. But we didn't realize we were in a game, and Georgia State goes into the locker room, starts feeling really good about themselves.
For Mississippi State, you had the ball for 33 minutes and 2 seconds compared to their 26 minutes and 58 seconds.
That's not even as wide as I would have thought, honestly. But you did. You had 7 sacks. And you forced is 3 interceptions. Was there another turnover in there? Did they have a fumble?
I don't have that in front of me, but like, I mean, for Georgia as a comparison, Georgia held the ball for 36 minutes and 28 seconds.
Against Tennessee?
Yeah.
What was the time of possession against South Carolina for Georgia? Did South Carolina win that in a big way?
Pulling that up.
I've got the box.
Also, I know you're just saying, oh, we have to hold to under 300 yards to have a chance. Like, I understand where you're getting at with that.
He can throw for 350 if he gives me 5 interceptions.
Georgia actually had the ball for 36 seconds.
36 minutes.
For 36 South minutes. South Carolina's
23. I'm telling you, Muschamp just said, run it. Run it all day. I don't care. Like, you can have the football. Run it. And they ran it, and they ran it, and they ran it, and you just hope.
But then they got bored, right? And then Coley gets bored. He's like, we got to let Fromm sling it. I mean, you said they ran it all day, but he threw 51 passes.
Well, they ran 90-something plays. It's double overtime, too.
Billy, what were you going to say?
They had the ball forever, too. Like, they had a lot of plays to run it and throw it.
I'm just saying there's not that much. True, but there's not that many plays in overtime. I mean, how many overtime plays did Georgia run?
Good point.
Not as many.
Five.
Because I think their interception
pick,
was
right?
On the
yeah.
First South Carolina probably ran play. Like 12, and Georgia only ran like 5.
It's a lot of plays for Georgia, though. I wonder why.
It's because Fromm threw a bunch of just like 5-yard out
quick
routes.
Stuff. Yeah. You don't have to wait on guys to run back, and just you're like, oh, well, we're here. We're going to run the next play.
And then finally, he got pressured on one of those, threw it late out there, and that kid picked it off.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah, they ran 95 plays.
95?
95 plays in this game.
I remember and back South in the Carolina day, 100 ran. Plays in a football game was a lot for both teams.
Both teams.
I mean, that was like
South
a big
Carolina
deal in the
90s. 68. It was 95-68 on plays.
68 plays. I mean, the 68, that's a little more on brand there.
Crazy. Georgia had...
I'd take 35 more plays than Alabama has on Saturday. I'd feel okay about that.
Get this. If this doesn't tell you how... This is a Muschamp gaming. This is what Pruitt just needs to do to Alabama.
Well, we talked about... That's what
Muschamp...
Muschamp
it up.
Muddy it up.
Georgia had 6 penalties for 60 yards. Okay? That's pretty normal. Typical game.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina had 11 penalties for 68 yards.
Georgia had 6 for what?
60.
And South Carolina had 11 for...
68.
Ticky-tack.
A lot of... South Carolina had some trouble with the snaps. They had a lot of 5-yard false starters mm-hmm. on the road. But they also were grabbing and holding the Georgia receivers.
Seems like it'd be
any
more,
chance
it seems like it'd be
beat.
More because that'd be those are big number penalties.
No, the defensive holding is only 5 yards, but it's an automatic first down.
Yeah, I would do that. I would do that. I would.
Anytime you're beat. I mean, they were beat on the end
what
of the
is,
game.
What does Bama love to do? If you've watched them play at all this year, here's what they do. They love the double move.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. They do the little fake the slant and spin it back the other way for kind of like the slant wheel route because they got time because Tua's back there just counting blades of grass. When Ruggs got hurt against Ole Miss and then came back in, they tried to get him the ball. They just kept running him on double moves. And he was open, but he was slow, so Tua was overthrowing him. If I'm a Tennessee corner, and this is what's frustrating, right? Because they run the first move, and if you bite on it, then they give you the double move. If you say, I'm not going to bite on the double move, then they just keep running the slant, and they're wide open across the field. I think you got to light up Tua. I don't think you can play coverage on these guys. They're just too fast. You can have 9 guys in coverage. Like they're going to get open. They're just so much faster. It's like Georgia. We're like, oh, we're only going to rush 3 on Fromm. What'd he do? He just sat back there and there he is, wide open. We dropped 8 and had Swift open for a wheel route by 15 yards.
And you hung in the game for a half.
Yeah, but then it wore down. Do what you did against Mississippi State. Light them up. You got 7 sacks, forced a bunch of turnovers. I think that's my go-to. Do you know Tennessee only has 15 sacks on the year? Say that half of the season total, basically, against Mississippi State. Maybe you found something. Darrell Taylor might have woke up. Mm. What, you don't like what?
I just
they had the total opposite game plan earlier in the show.
What I'm saying is most teams, yes, you can sit back in a soft zone and they're going to go underneath. What I'm saying is if you do that against Bama and get no pressure, Tua can throw it 75 yards and they're still going to beat you over the top.
Okay.
I don't even think we're going to get pressure if we bring 5 or 6 against them.
I don't know. Their offensive line is good, but it's not. That's the thing. Right now, this is not Alabama as you know it. They're still very, very good. But this is Tua and those receivers and then a pretty good football team around them. Whereas in the past, what was the year? Was it 15 or 16 where the defense alone scored enough points to win them 6 games?
5-7. Yeah, we debated whether if I played quarterback, they could have gone 7-5.
As long as you're not fumbling every play, you're going to a bowl game.
They really could run the clock over and over and punt. And then
so what I was going
to
say about
can you install a weird enough game plan in a week to go to Alabama and win?
No.
By the way, I don't think so. No, you gotta get lucky. Like South Carolina just did what they do, right?
Yeah.
They didn't.
Well, that's what I saw. But they've tried to do this against Georgia the last 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. It didn't work well at all. It kept them in the game. They didn't lose by 14 last year or something. Like, it kept them in the game for a while last year. But or maybe that was 2 years ago.
I don't remember last year's game.
But, I mean, this is what Muschamp does even against when they play Tennessee. You watch. They'll have the little short stuff on the outside all day long. He's like, I just don't care. Just
now we
work the ball down the
we
field.
We had them last year until we just could not stop Bentley on third down. What, did they score 5 straight drives?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Right. We stopped them early.
That was a game where both teams didn't try and push tempo, so it was very few possessions. Because mm-hmm. we remember thinking, we only scored 24 points. And you're like, man, we scored like on a high percentage of possessions.
Yeah.
The offense wasn't the problem. It was the defense couldn't get off the field.
But it was a good game plan by Muschamp. I also thought that was probably Tyson Helton from a call standpoint. Because Auburn, yes, the numbers were there, but that was really just, hey, it's third and long. we got man coverage, just chuck it up. I really felt like Tyson Helton had to scheme against Muschamp. I thought he had a good plan. Problem was the defense let you down, and you did get kind of robbed on the goal line when old buddy fumbled and they called it a touchdown. Or maybe they just called him down. You know what I'm talking about? Was that Dowdle in there in the mix, and we steal the ball and come out running with it, and they that was the one that Pruitt didn't review or thought he couldn't?
I thought they called it a touchdown, but that might have been down. They scroll on the next one. I can't remember.
Yeah, Georgia Ball says, if we can't get some hits on Tua and rattle them, then I don't know how we can slow them down. That's what I'm saying. Like, what did Clemson do? They beat him to death.
Well, that's the part of the Georgia-South Carolina game that doesn't line up. Like, South Carolina got pressure on Fromm with four.
Yeah, everybody was saying that.
I mean,
on
they
the SEC
whipping
network, they were like, that front
somehow.
Four for South Carolina took the game over.
That's also, like, probably the best position on their team. Like, their front, their defensive line is the best.
And the problem for
have.
Tennessee, if you go back and watch the Mississippi State game, a lot of the times you were able to get pressure, it was because you were sending Bryce Thompson. You were sending your best cover corner to go get him because you could afford that against Mississippi State's receivers. You cannot do that against Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy. You just can't.
Who's the best player on Tennessee's team?
On the team?
Yeah.
Juwan Jennings.
So...
I mean, but if you're thinking who's the best receiver in the SEC from like a projection standpoint, he's nowhere close. You know what I'm saying? Like in the NFL, it's going to be guys like Jeudy. Like I mean, he's just a football player.
No, I was pointing back more like, okay, South Carolina looks at their roster and says, all right, our defensive front's the best thing we have. So let's hope that they can win some one-on-ones up front against Georgia and we'll throw our reserve unit to the back, and we'll defend, and we're not going to blitz. For Tennessee, we can't do that. So how do we, like, you know, I mean, we joke about it, but Juwan Jennings and the Wildcat, in fact,
it's a
good time to throw this out there. I was tailgating before the Georgia State game and visiting with some friends, and got some sourced info. The Tennessee had already been working, even before the season, Juwan Jennings and the Wildcat. And one of the players had told the source, one of the players on Tennessee's team, that, yeah, we definitely want to, you know, at least give this a shot against Alabama later in the year. Of course, they showed it in, what game did Juwan take?
He only took one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was it Florida?
I think it was Florida.
Yeah.
So they showed it against Florida. I don't know if they'll actually do it this Saturday, but I heard that before the season even started.
Maybe that's a... I go in and I have it in the holster. If Bama's up 21-0, lickety-split, I'm not popping it out. Then I'll save it for South Carolina. But if you find yourself in a ball game late in the second quarter, third quarter, yeah, I'd try something like that.
Especially if you're in that, like, first and goal from the 7. Like, I hate goal to go from the 7, 8, 9,
I
half.
Do too.
Like, it sucks. You know what I mean? Like, it's the hardest time to score touchdowns. You get first and goal from the 9. So it's like, yeah, we want to run the ball here, first and goal from the 7, but... I don't feel like we can just line up and hand it
off to the
tailback.
Well, that's the way that gives you numbers in the run game, right? That gives you the extra blocker. And you've got a guy with Juwan who I know we haven't seen him play quarterback, but we know he can throw it a little bit, right?
Like, well, he was going to throw it on
Saturday.
I'm just saying,
like,
of course.
I mean, receivers throw it all the time on double passes, but he did play high school quarterback. The guy does have a good arm. So
I mean, hell, Kentucky did it. Like, Kentucky had the bye week, but they literally took their Juwan Jennings and made him the quarterback.
Did he throw it really at all?
Oh,
what do you have? He had about 100 yards.
Dude, he was like 7 of 11 for 100 something
and
two touchdowns.
That's what it has to be. It has to be very efficient.
Both times he took a shot and it worked, he correctly identified they're trying to stop the run now. It's man-to-man, and he threw a good ball.
Having played receiver, I think that helps you.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Vice versa. Yeah. It's like when quarterbacks switch to receiver, which is not that common, but it's common. They're a little bit better because they know how to read. They know where to look, right? They know how to study film. Real quick, Tua on the season has been sacked 7 times. Alabama as a team has only given up 7 sacks. Light them up.
We'll come back. We'll get right back to the phone calls.
Green Dog, everybody. Everyone.
Man-to-man the whole field.
Don't let them gain another yard.
This segment of the program is brought to you by Konki Digital. That's K-O-N-K-I Digital. and online at ConkeyDigital.com. You can still enter to win the third and final Conkey Yeti Roadie Cooler filled with all those tailgate goodies. It's a complete tailgate pack provided by Conkey Digital. Just head on over to FoxSportsKnoxville.com, click on the banner ad, and you can register for free right there. We'll also be tweeting about it later in the day, too. So if you follow us at Fox Sports Knox, check it out there. And you can register absolutely free. If you've already registered, we appreciate that. And you're still entered to win the third giveaway. They're going to do that before South Carolina. They're doing it before home game. So skip a week, gives you a little time. But don't wait. Go ahead and get registered up at FoxSportsKnoxville.com. Click the banner ad. It's absolutely free. Courtesy of our friends at Konki Digital, KONKI Digital.com. Let's go back to the phone lines. Grab Jay. Jay, you're on three now. What's up, buddy?
Nay, man, I'm sorry to hear about your hurt lower back, buddy. I hope that Brother's Bedding mattress helps out.
Thanks, man.
Trying to carry Tennessee football across the finish line will really take its toll.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Houston, you should go over there and massage it for him, man. Give him a back massage. That'll help him out.
There's not enough money in the world, Jay, to pay me to do it.
Now, that'd be a punishment right there.
Wasn't that going to be one, a foot massage?
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were going to do that where, like, that was the punishment. The person had to give everyone else in the room a foot massage on the show.
Well, Houston, if we beat Alabama, you should have to give Davey and Nate a foot massage.
I'm already on the hook for
the hottest chip on the planet.
A spicy, like, basically inedible chip that's so hot, Shaq had to leave the set. So, I don't think...
Oh, you got to eat one. You got to eat one if we...
Right.
Yeah. And it's bad. It's like ghost pepper chip or something.
The video I watched, Jay, the guy had to use surgical gloves to take the chip out of the bag because apparently if you touch the
chip. Just the oils on the chip.
Yeah, that like later in the day, if you rub your eyes, you could actually really damage your eyes, you know, your eyeball.
I'm excited about it.
That is, God, I hope we win. Well, you know, me and my old.
Thanks,
I mean,
Jay.
I'm going to watch it. That's good TV. You know, me and my old man, if we win, we're going to go get matching tattoos. So
there you go.
We'll see. We'll see.
We got to throw all this out in the universe. I'll go ahead and say yes. Foot massage also. I'll put it all on the table. Whatever it takes, Jay. I'll eat the chip, get the oil over my fingers, and then I'll massage these guys' feet.
Oh God, that
You're
would
really
be great.
Selling yourself out for a win
against Alabama. Yeah, Billy. I guess I will. What are you scared because Bama might lose? Bama, Billy.
I would just wait till Tennessee's actually good to.
No, but this is what it takes now to get us over the hump.
All right, well, good on you.
It's a sacrifice. You know, it's like offering a sacrifice. You're willing to do these things to get
on the altar to the football gods. I have put down now the spiciest chip on the planet and a foot massage to these three fools.
Oh man,
I'll be looking forward to that. It'd be nice day. You know?
It'd be worth it.
Do I get to wear gloves at least? I don't know.
Sure.
Okay. Good.
Guys, that South Carolina game, man.
Soft plush gloves, though. I wanted to feel nice on my feet.
Okay. You interrupted Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
Sorry. Jay.
No, y'all are good. Y'all are good. The South Carolina game, I think that's going to determine whether we go to a bowl game or not, if we can win that, or at least our chances. If Pruitt was to somehow pull out a bowl game out of this season, how would you feel? I know everybody's going to say, well, we should be 8-4 because we'll be talking about Georgia State, BYU, but how would y'all feel about Pruitt going forward, or what grade would you give him if we somehow beat South Carolina and get ourselves to a bowl game?
I'd feel great. And honestly, Jay, it's kind of weird to look back at it now, but in a way, the loss to BYU and Georgia State, because, you know, if you won those two games and then you drop a bad one to South Carolina and a bad one to Missouri and you still go bowling, like, yeah, you're bowling, which is great, but does it feel as good now that all the pressure's on the back half of the schedule? I'd be even more impressed because you don't have – I mean, you got UTC, but that was a layup no matter what. But you don't have the built-in couple of gimme wins that you expected, so now it's got to have it. I'd be even more impressed with Pruitt if he goes to a bowl this year.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have the benefit of losing a game you shouldn't have to Kentucky or South Carolina. You kind of have to win all of them save one outside of Alabama the rest of the way. That would be really impressive because that would mean at that point you've won, you know, five out of your last seven or maybe even six out of your last seven, assuming they don't get the win this weekend. Yeah, that would be remarkable.
That'd be pretty impressive. And I think, I think this South Carolina game is kind of the hinge game on that. I think you'll start seeing Tennessee in bowl projections if they win this South Carolina game. Now, if they lose it, you're probably, you know, I think you'd have to literally win out. But
yeah, you would.
You absolutely.
Yeah, Yeah, I think, but I think you win the South Carolina game, guys. I think you'll start hearing more and more about Tennessee being in bowl talk, which would be pretty remarkable. And I think that'd help recruiting, obviously, and all that. But man, that would be something else. I just wondered what y'all thought about that.
Birmingham, here we come.
I would feel the same, Jay. I mean, if you win like the last, I don't know. It obviously depends on who you beat and how after South Carolina. Like if you, you know, lose by a field goal at Missouri and you blast Kentucky and blast Vanderbilt, obviously I'll mm-hmm. be like Houston, be really optimistic because you will have played well in every game after Alabama, which mm-hmm. will be a huge. I guess that's my thing. We talked about it first segment today. There's this trust factor between the fan base and the team, and it's a groupthink trust factor that's not there right now, and it, individually too. Like I don't trust this team to show up and play well each and every week.
That's true. They have to do that consistently.
But I also don't trust this team to show up and play poorly every week. A lot of people had that take after Georgia State, and it's like, well, eventually they're going to show up and play a good game. And this past Saturday, I mean, they had a bunch of stuff really go against them.
They did.
And still played solid football, you know,
yeah.
and beat an SEC team who was not playing their best, but they beat them handily, you know. That's where I am, and that's where it depends on how these games go. I mean, they need to play well, not even necessarily win, but play well in like three or four games for me to go into the next game going, yeah, I'm sure they'll play pretty well, and then we'll see if they win or lose.
If this team goes bowling, that means they went 4-4 in conference, which is the best Butch Jones ever did.
Now, he went 5-3 1 year.
He went.
Yeah, he lost to Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, he went 5-3 with like 12 NFL players on his roster.
But he did go 4-4 in a year and then bragged about the overall record at 8-4.
Yeah.
So your point's still well taken.
4-4 SEC record is like, okay, we haven't really been around this consistently for a while. The only difference is you don't have the win over BYU and Georgia State to help boost the overall record. But 4-4 in this league, or heaven forbid, Jay, 5-3, I mean, that would be a tremendous. Even though the final record doesn't look as good as maybe it should, that would be a really big step in year two, and especially the way the season started, because we were talking about this a month ago. How do you not lose the team, right? How do you keep them motivated? How do you keep them together? That, to me, has not been the problem to this point. The team's together. They're motivated. They're playing hard. Now the issue is you're dealing with some injuries. The lack of depth is probably going to start showing up a little bit. But if somehow this team gets to a bowl game, I think it's – I mean, I'm not kidding when I say he should probably be at least in the mention for SEC Coach of the Year based on how the season started, based on the roster and kind of how it, I don't know, roller coastered over the course of the season. That would be a really, really impressive coaching job.
Well, I think so. And look, you got to think about it like this, too. We want to be back with Georgia and Alabama and Florida, but that next step that we got to take, guys, you got to beat mm-hmm. South Carolina. You got to beat Missouri. You know, beat Vanderbilt.
Beat Vanderbilt.
Like, you got to start doing that first, you know, before you can start, you know, beat Mississippi State when you play a program like Mississippi State, which you've done. So if we start doing that, if we show that we can do that this season, I'm not saying, you know, Alabama's next, you know, but I'm just saying if you can start consistently doing that, I think that's the next step this program has to take. So I think that'd be positive.
Progress.
Jay, here, I guess this is another way to say it. If they play well enough and consistently enough on this back half of the schedule to make me believe that that's the new Tennessee under Jeremy Pruitt and that it's not like an outlier moment the way last year's Auburn feels and last year's Kentucky feels. Like those, we hoped that that would be the way they'd play all of this season or most of this season. But when Georgia State happens, like, okay, no, we still have the ability to play like absolute dog bleep. So if they play so consistently well in the back half of the schedule that I can say, okay, we're not going to play that poorly ever again. Like we are, you know, Jeremy Pruitt told recruits, my first year will be my worst year. Mark it down, guaranteed. Well, then Georgia State happened, and it's like, I don't know if I trust you now, buddy. You kind of told us that was it. So that's the hump that mentally I just need to get past. And all the evidence, I mean, really win or lose, all that evidence will pile up. We've got so many games against teams that are really good litmus test, I think, in the second half, whereas the first half of the schedule was like, you definitely should beat Georgia State. You probably should beat BYU. You probably are going to lose to Florida and Georgia, and that's fine. It was all this, like, should win and should lose games. Now you got 50-50 game, 50-50 game, 50-50 game, which I think will really help us develop that opinion.
I did want to say, I got to disagree with Houston. I don't care if Jeremy Pruitt does really well in the second half of the season. I can't have him in the conversation of SEC Coach of the Year when you're losing by 25-plus points to Georgia, Florida. I mean, even if he does turn around, the main thing I want to see is, like, even if he does really great the second half of the year, like, I don't even want to have to deal with the conversation of, well, should Fulmer give him an extension? Which I do think you will have some outlets try to say, yeah, he won.
Oh, you're saying if he wins the award, he's more likely to get an extension?
No, not even that. I'm just saying, like, say Alabama's the only other game you lose the rest of the season. I don't want State Run to come out and say, yeah, we probably need to lock down Jeremy Pruitt for the long term.
Well, that's going
to
happen when you win games no matter what.
But we've seen what happens when you do that.
But you can't not reward a guy for doing well. Like,
Like, even if he does well the second half of the year, you got to look at it from the entire point of view.
Right, but beating SEC, I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, the Georgia State game, it only hurts your final record. If you start beating teams that you really kind of weren't supposed to beat, I mean, he's going to get the credit for that.
Hey, if he wins five games and goes 7-5,
yeah.
I'm fine with. You don't have to give him a raise, but I'm fine with an extension if that means he needs it.
Yeah, I'm okay with extensions. No raise, though. Trying to protect yourself on the back end. Or maybe give him a raise, an extension, but we start lowering the buyout.
Right, yeah.
Protect yourself.
Yeah. But if it's something, you know, I guess simple, I mean 7-5, winning the next five straight, I mean, that'd be pretty daggum impressive to me.
Well, hell, you'd be 6-2 in the – oh, no, that's not right. You'd be 5-3. I wouldn't count Alabama, yep. Yeah, I mean, it depends on how those games go. We know – I mean, we can guess as much as we want, but, I mean, if you win a couple of these games close and then you just get absolutely throttled by a couple of the other teams you think you're going to be on level – it'll just feel – I don't know. There's just – we'll need more evidence, and I think we'll be able to kind of separate the difference between Davey's opinion and Houston's, kind of based on how the wins either happen or don't.
I'm just saying, if he goes 7-5 after the start, that might be one of the more impressive coaching jobs in the league this year.
I see it both ways. I can actually make both arguments. I can say,
no,
I can say, yeah, you're right. I can't. It'd be really hard for any coach to pull a team out of what they went through first half.
Worst loss in school history to 7-5.
But to Davey's point, it's like, but he's the reason they had the worst loss in school history. Like, he almost set up his own, like, rise from the ashes. That's
yeah,
kind of
genius. Only smart coaches do that. Coaches of the year.
It's the old Guinness commercials.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Guys, enjoy the light show at Alabama this weekend. I know it's going to look like a disco.
I'm going to dim my TV. I may just listen to it just to not give them the satisfaction.
There you go.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Have a good one, buddy.
I mean, if he wins every game after Alabama, he'll deserve some credit. We started that, though, with just getting to 6-6, which, I mean, I know that's only one win difference, but
Wait, hang on. What did you predict before the season started?
I don't even remember.
6-6, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Billy, Nate, and myself were
6-6.
So
if they make 6-6 with losses to BYU,
I was saying
Georgia
he's not
State,
coach of the year if he meets my expectations.
No. I understand that. But I'm saying without those in the final record.
That's why I said I'll have no change.
And I'm not saying win it. I just say he should be probably in the discussion for what coaching is. It's not a coach of the year shouldn't be a popularity contest or who had the best year. It's about coaching. And I think
saying that 7-5, right? Not 6-6.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Sure.
No, if this team goes 7-5, he will deserve the credit for picking the team up from a million pieces after Georgia State and BYU and then molding them and pointing them in a direction that turned the season into what we all hoped it could be to start with.
If you lose to Georgia State and BYU, and that balances out with winning, let's say, at Missouri and beating South Carolina at home.
Maybe the Mississippi State game, right?
Okay, or Mississippi State, it doesn't matter.
Whatever.
But whatever I had, whatever wins and losses I had to start, and however they're different at the end, like, to me, it just evens out. It's like, the schedule's the schedule. It doesn't change.
True.
So the fact that you underperformed and lost to a team you should have beat, but overperformed and beat a team that I might have picked you to lose to.
But doesn't it matter, though, that you underperformed early and then overperformed consistently later?
That's why I say if they play really well.
What did we not Butch Jones for, right, 2016, losing to bad teams late in the year when you were better?
That's why if you like win the last five and you play well, or let's say you even lose like at Missouri, like I said, by a field goal or something, but you play pretty well. If you can play four or five games in a row where you play really well, then I'll start to trust that that's the new norm.
Yeah.
And that the Georgia State days are over because you are rebuilding. That's the whole point. The problem with Butch Jones is he rebuilt you out of where you knew you weren't going to be able to compete with Georgia and Alabama. He got you to a point where when you lined up to play Georgia and Alabama or who in this day and age, I know Georgia was bad back then, but when you lined up to play the best teams in the SEC, you knew you had a chance to win the football game. He got you to that level. Mm-hmm. The problem was you had a chance if you played at your ceiling, but you also could have played so badly that App State should have beat you. Like, he still had this massive range. And so, yeah, getting to the level where you can compete against the top teams is great, but I think better coaches typically get you there with a smaller range that kind of feels and makes more sense.
Yeah.
To go back real quick about, let's say, something happens and you do get to 7-5. I look at it like this. Whenever it comes to grading Pruitt's overall performance, that would be great. That would 7-5 would exceed my expectations. 6-6 would